Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with their health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
I'm Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb.
And I'm Earl Cobb.
Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio, and episode number 3 of the Situations and Leadership broadcast. As you know, this is a special broadcast series which gives all of us an opportunity to spend a few minutes to discuss and learn from a chapter of the new book, Situations and Leadership, Short Stories and Lifelong Lessons.
The goal of this broadcast series is to have an entertaining and hopefully insightful discussion about each of the 10 short stories. Each of the short stories are written to unpack some key lessons all of us can learn and use while addressing challenging personal and professional situations. These lessons can also strengthen critical thinking and leadership skills. As with each of the broadcasts in this 10-part series, Charlotte and I are honored to have a distinguished guest panel. And tonight is no exception. We have two guests who have read the book and are here tonight to share their thoughts on the stories and the lessons contained in Chapter 3, titled, I Was Born to Do This. I would like to first welcome to tonight's show someone that Charlotte and I have known, well, for all of her life, Justina Wells Maxwell. Justina is the daughter of some very dear friends of ours, and we were so fortunate a few years ago to become her proud godparents. Wow, hard to believe that she's now all grown up, but we are not surprised that she has become so accomplished at this early stage in her life. Justina already has a broad range of experience covering hospital operations, communications, strategic planning, marketing, quality improvement, public relations, and public health research and development. She currently serves as the Chief of Communications and Outreach for a large health system, which serves over 140,000 patients. In her spare time, she leads the activities of Tina Lynn Marketing, in which she describes as a one-stop digital marketing agency helping small business owners. Justina is a proud graduate of Spelman College and earned her master's degree in public health from Indiana University. Now, unfortunately, we learned last week that due to an unforeseen schedule mix-up, Justina will not be here with us in the studio live tonight. However, we were able to have an enjoyable interview with Justina earlier this week and recorded some of her insightful thoughts. So tonight's discussion will share many of her insights about our topic as we go along this evening. So in her absence, we welcome Justina Wells Maxwell to Life Changing Talk Radio. Also, let's welcome to episode 3, of Situations and Leadership, Dr. D. Anthony Miles. He likes for his friends to call him D. We'll get to that. Dr. Miles has a broad and deep range of experience and success. He's a serial entrepreneur, award-winning researcher, award-winning professor, legal expert, witness, business expert, and best-selling author. And he just had a new book released. We'll ask him about that later in the show. He is the CEO and founder of Miles Development Industries Corporation, which is a consulting practice and venture capital acquisition firm. I first had the opportunity to collaborate with Dr. Myers during an interview I gave on the Game On Business Talk radio show a few months ago, where he is the host and executive producer. So talking about business, research, books, and so many other topics is nothing new to him. Dr. Miles, welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I've been looking forward to this all month.
Well, we've been looking forward to having you too. Now, do you want me to call you Anthony or D?
You call me Anthony. D. It's easier to say. You call me D or whichever's more you comfortable with. Anthony, that's
okay.
Sure.
Very good. Very good. Now, hopefully, everyone in the listening audience has also read the story in chapter 3 and are ready to help us unpack some of the important lessons it contains.
And Earl, let me also welcome Justina and Dee to the show tonight. And before we start the discussion, we will first take a short break, then play a recorded synopsis of the story from chapter 3, which is titled, I Was Born to Do This. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Living a Richer Life, Life-Changing Talk Radio, where like-minded people come to listen, share, and learn. The phone lines are now open. If you wish to join us on the air, you can call 516-418-5769. Again, that's 516-418-5769. Then press 1 on your phone to let us know that you have something to share on the air, or you can join us on our blog page at blogtalkradio.com/richerlife, email us at info@richerlifellc.com, or send us a tweet at richerlifetalk. Now here's a synopsis of tonight's story and situation.
I was born to do this. C.C. Lee grew up spending a lot of time with her dad in the family custom furniture business. She loved the idea of reproducing antique furniture so much that she graduated from the University of Arizona with a Ph.D. in art history. After graduation, her dad asked her to become a part of the store's leadership team and one day run the company. With great design skills and no confidence in herself as a leader and running a business, CC takes on the challenge to be an apprentice in her dad's business. The goal is to find out if she has what it takes. Somewhat to her surprise, she easily learns some important lessons about leading a small business. She also receives some valuable advice from her dad regarding how, as a leader, she should spend her time within the organization. This special piece of advice played a key role in her successfully taking over the family business and convincing herself that she does have what it takes.
And welcome back. Let me remind our callers that if you would like to share how you would describe C.C. Lee's situation or have any comments, please press 1 on your phone. That way we can recognize you, bring you into our screen room, and then bring you into the live discussion. You can also engage with us via our chat room on our blog page. Email us at info@richerlifellc.com or tweet us at @richerlifetalk. Now, Earl will lead our guest panel in a review of the story contained in Chapter 3 of Situations in Leadership and respond to as many of the questions at the end of the chapter as possible. We also welcome any questions and comments we get from you, our listening audience.
Okay, let's start the discussion by, let's start this way. Let's get a response from both Justina and Anthony to this question, which is the first question at the back of chapter 3, if you're following us in your book. The question is, how would you describe C.C. Lee's situation and why? And we're going to start by listening to Justina's response.
Justina,
So for me, there are so many emotions involved with CC's situation. You could tell from the story that she has some very big decisions to make when it comes to her future, including her career. And I believe a lot of what she was feeling was really due to her running from her passion. And we all tend to do this at times. And why I think she was running from it was because of two major things. The first one being her lack of confidence in her ability. And then the other one of being the fear of failing. I think those two things were kind of getting her to run from what she was basically called to do, which she was born to do at that point.
Very good. And we'll get back to some of those ideas in a moment. Anthony, how would you describe CC's situation?
If there's any way I could describe the situation, it would be it's a conflict between the succession of the ownership and her goals. And you see this a lot with parents that have a business, to start a business. And they're the classic example of Madam C.J. Walker. When she's, I believe she's the first black female millionaire, and she tried to pass mm-hmm. her empire to her daughter, and her daughter just did not have the knack for running that company. And the company ended up folding, from what I remember. That's what I remember reading about it. And this is a classic example of that, Earl. It's a succession conflict. Your children don't have skin in the game. And literally, unless they were there when you were helping with the business and they know that they're going to take over the business, there's a succession conflict. And you see that a lot when people want to get out of the business. I met people that own franchises, and mm-hmm. some of the kids, that's just not what they want to do. And I met a really nice man, Richard Acosta, and he did it the right way, which kind of has some relevance to this story. He owned, I think, 13 McDonald's franchises, and his daughter mm-hmm. was right there with him as he bought one franchise after the other, and she knew what she was going to be doing. He sent her to school to study, I think, finance, and it was all aligned to what he needed for her in the business, and she knew that she's going to take over the empire one day. Well, that's the way you're supposed to do it. But this situation is, and I hate to say this because I got a PhD, Dr. Charlotte does too, sometimes when you're educated, highly educated, it gives you options, and you may not want to run a business. You may want to pursue your career. If you want to do art, or in her case, she's somewhat of an artist or artisan. And I see a conflict mm-hmm. between what she wants to do and in the succession of the business. So I see right. this as a classic example of Madam C.J. Walker. The kids just don't have the passion. They didn't put any sweat equity in the business, so they have a completely different attitude, and I see that with CeCe and her dad.
Very good. Very good. You know, sitting here listening to your discussion there, you know, it sort of reminds me, early when Charlotte and I was thinking through this particular book and why we tied situation so close to leadership, but also as you present it, and for those who read the book, many situations in our life, even the complex situations that pops up, really with a little bit more critical thinking, and maybe you're not wired that way, so you have to sort of force yourself to be wired that way, because you would think that CeCe would have, as much as she loved Lang's furniture and everything, you would think that she would have been prepared for her father to ask her to take over the business, you know? Now, why don't we do this? For those of you who have read the story in chapter 3 and know that CeCe finds herself in at least 3 remarkably interesting situations, and you may think of more than 3. If you do, let us know some other situations that you see in this. But what we've come up with is 3 of them where we would like to just focus the discussion tonight to make sure everyone that's listening live or listen to this podcast can sort of focus around the chapter, but focus around these 3 points or situations, if you will. The first is where you find yourself having to decide on responding to an unexpected but sincere request, like Cece, from a family member, friend, or coworker. And it's the kind of request that demands a timely and thoughtful response. Okay. The second situation that we see her in is a situation which requires her to make a change. And it can require you to make a change, a change in direction. It could be a change in job, a change in career, or in Cece's case, a change in following her passion in order to respond to a family crisis. And the third situation that really stands out and I think has a lot to unpack is finding yourself in a situation where you must figure out how to best manage your time to fulfill a responsibility, especially when the responsibility involves, say, multiple skills or learning something new and dealing with multiple personalities. Now, if anyone in our listening audience have found themselves in any of these situations or can think of some others, we'd love to hear from you. Just push one on your phone. We'll see that you're there and you'd like to share something on the subject. So, Anthony, let's frame the discussion forward here around these three situations, and let's focus specifically on what are some of the best approaches that we could take to get the best outcome out of each of these situations. Now, let's start with the situation where Cece found herself, or if you find yourself needing to respond to a sincere request from a family member or a coworker, and certainly you want the best outcome, but you also want the best outcome for yourself while not damaging any relationships. What do you think, Anthony? What are some ideas here?
Earl, that's a really good question. When I did an analysis of the situation, I found there, you know, you're asking what could she do, what would be the optimal situation. To be honest with you, and I go back to what did she go to school for? Did she go, I believe she got a PhD in architecture and design or something along those lines?
Yep, she loved to design, yeah.
Right. Well, I would say, why don't we take a Steve Jobs approach, okay? What I mean by that is this. She's an artist. That's her domain. That's what she's good at. She may not be good at running a company. She may not be an entrepreneur. I don't see her as an entrepreneur. I see her being – she's not the visionary that her father is. However, how can we align what she already has with the business? So what I would say a situation that she could probably do is take her design background, create a division in a company, a department in a company where she's designing cutting edge designs for the furniture, and they outsource whoever, however, who, I believe they would get into some of that designing furniture and align her artistry with the business. So it's not either this or that. And she would be the Steve Jobs of the business. She would align her skills and craft of a design, because that's you know, creativity is an intelligence, and she can align it with the business, and we can and then if she's not comfortable running a business, I would say find your CEO and outsource it. That way we maximize the strength of our artistry and also the strength of the business. Maybe if they want to keep it in-house, find a cousin or whoever that they feel comfortable with of running a company and let her do what she's good at. So she doesn't feel like she has to, well, I got to put the art thing down or whatever. Or someone that they trust, maybe they have to go outside. But the goal is to maximize her skills and align it with the business and try to maximize both of the situations together. I just don't see her as an entrepreneur. I see her as I got to run this business. I got to go to work. And that's the impression I got. And I think she has a good heart. She wants to please her dad. But she just doesn't seem like an entrepreneur to me. And that's what I think.
Right. Now, here's the challenge, right, where many small businesses and families or organizations find themselves, right? because what you described is something strategic, which sort of has to begin a long time before you find out that mom or dad's 80 years old and they can't do this anymore. Right. And that's always a challenge. And then the other point I thought you made, which was terrific, is or a question I guess we can ask ourselves is there a way to, and I think you said it, if they had more time, to turn individual strengths or individual weaknesses, I should say, into strengths. So she would, like you say, she would have had time to be around the business, even though she was contributing as a designer and built some things or worked on some weaknesses. Let's do this. Let's hear what Justina has to say, because I think she had some good comments on this kind of approach. Hold on.
Well, I kind of think for me, it kind of goes back to trying to exude that confidence that you want to have at the end of the day. I think we tend to doubt ourselves and our abilities to do things, and being honest with ourselves of knowing what our strengths and what our weaknesses are, and then figuring out ways to help with reducing those weaknesses, and or how do we make those weaknesses more of a strength to continue to help us progress.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good. Very good points. Now, following up, Anthony, if she found herself as she did, where there wasn't time to, you know, come in slowly and work her way up the organization, you know, because if you recall, her dad started out building all the furniture himself, right? And which is how most small businesses start. And he probably had
right.
to do everything. And all of a sudden, 10, 15, then they went through a recession, remember? And coming out of that, it was sort of too late. So your thoughts on building on your idea there, suppose it was too late to do that. What would be a good approach for CC or anyone to say, well, maybe we are where we are. Let's try this.
Okay. I would say in that type of situation or scenario, she's going to have to kind of learn on the job and probably put the designing in the background, or take this approach, hire somebody that's a designer or whatever, and she take over the CEO role and make sure the operations of the company is stabilized. And I liken it to this, Earl, to being somewhat of a football coach, and you mm-hmm. definitely agree with me on this. When say you were a defensive coordinator, and then you get a job being a head coach. Well, you can't go back and just worry about the defense. Now, when you're a head coach, you got to worry about special teams. You got to worry about offense. And I see this situation similar to a coach, a defensive coordinator getting a head coaching job. I can't just worry mm-hmm. about one facet of the organization. I have to be holistic in my approach. So I bring somebody in to keep the designing, my hand in designing. I'm not going to be involved with designing day to day, but I will run the company, and I will pursue new opportunities that my father set up a good foundation. I presume new opportunities, maybe going global. And basically what she wants right. to do is put on the CEO hat, take off the designer hat, hire somebody for design, and then she can keep her hands in the design part, but she has to run the company. That would probably be the optimal situation for her if we take it as it is right now.
What about the situation where you find yourself needing to change a direction, which is like CC, but just in general, you know, change a job, change a career, even change a decision that's already been made. What are some of the challenges in getting to the point of finalizing whether or not that's a change that you should make or not? I mean, what are some of the psychological things? I know you've written about some of these things.
Oh.
That's okay. This is live radio. Okay.
Can you repeat it for me? I'm a little on the slow end. Can you repeat it for me? Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. I'm trying to extend it beyond the specific situation that CC found herself, but a situation similar to this where it requires a change, requires you to change your job, change your career, change a decision maybe that you've already made. There's some psychological things, you know, that goes on as well about, you know, of course, you read a lot about fear, right? That's one of the things that's there. Just wanted to get your thoughts on maybe if we could get into CC's head or anyone's head who's in this situation where, you know, it's a change and it's sincere and, you know, it could be someone you really want to go work for or something you really want to do, but making that last step to go and do that. What's some thoughts there?
My thoughts on this, or when I was reading this particular chapter, was she is at a crossroads. She's attained her doctorate. She has a company that's already especially moderately successful that she's being handed to, rather. Her dad wants to kind of get out of the game. And I got the impression that, and this is just me, I just got the impression that she wanted to be a part of the company, but she didn't necessarily want to run the company or be, you know, wear the CEO hat. And in terms of change, I would think that she would have to step it up, and this is a cruel, I guess, a cruel lesson. And you see, this is actually a cautionary tale. Was CC the right person that he chose? And if she is, will she fulfill his, I guess, legacy of running a business and taking a business to the new millennium or whatever? And if she wants to have this company be successful, she's going to have to make some changes, and change is tough. I like that scene, and, you know, that, what is it? Remember the Titans? My dad came to me when I was 8 years old. I wasn't ready. You know, he exaggerated, but I kind of see that as a simple situation.
Yeah, yeah. And even CC's father, right? Even CC's father said you were born to do this. So obviously he saw something there. Let's introduce us, though, is this whole idea about communications, okay? Because certainly when CC saw that she was having trouble, she didn't, you know, go in and complain, Dad, these distributors aren't doing this, or create some drama around it, right? She actually faced up to the fact that they need to do something different. And she says she went in with her white towel and said, Dad, you know, I need some help. And of course, that was how she chose to properly communicate what she was going through. Now, let's listen. Good time to listen to what Justina shared about communications.
First, I definitely believe in that. Everybody is at a different level when it comes to communication. A lot of people need things to be direct and to the point, and then others, you have to really truly meet them where they are and make it as easy as possible to communicate or describe what you are asking of them to do.
Very good. I agree. You know, I remember in my first book on leadership called Focused Leadership, I share an anecdote of a lesson that I learned early in my career regarding the importance of realizing the megaphone that you have when you are in a position of authority. You know, for example, the response that CC's father gave her, you know, could have been different because he was sort of the boss. He was the authority, but he chose to understand what he needed to do by allowing her to basically be mentored by following him and let her see how it's done. The lesson I learned is that when you're in a position of authority, a whisper is a roar. So it wasn't just how she decided to communicate in terms of being honest and coming up with what else can we do. And of course, him deciding we can let you follow me around and learn how to see how things are done. So very, very important point. Now, let's get on to the third situation that we mentioned earlier, that is figuring out how to manage your time, okay, to fulfill a responsibility. And this is key to the entire story. If you've read through the whole story and began to get to the end, you begin to see where, Cece indicated that there was a piece of advice that her father gave her that gave her a different perspective on how to approach her new role, because obviously her father knew she had the intellect and certainly she had the interest in the business, okay? But by allowing her to follow him around, it gave her a sense of seeing that it wasn't magic. But the piece of advice was, Cece, remember, where you spend your time as a leader is not your choice, but your responsibility. Choice versus responsibility. Now, Anthony, how would you unpack that lesson, and what would you recommend as the best way to tackle this type of quote-unquote time management challenge?
Oh, that's a really good question. Based on my review of the situation, I would say, and I use this mantra, and I agree with what our father said, if you tell me how you spend your time, I can tell a lot about you. How you spend your time is a greater revealer of truth about you. Is she spending her time focused on running a business? Is she spending her time still keeping to that design artistry thing, which is important to her? So how you spend your time is very, very revealing about you. And I want to say this to her. She has another conflict that I see with the situation. You have the entrepreneur in you, and then you have the person that has to run the business. We got a lot of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. They're not good at managing and running a business because all the fun stops. You got to deal with accounts, payroll, vendors, contracts. And literally, when you're an entrepreneur and having to deal with those things, you have to wear a lot of hats. She's going to have to figure out, because I assume the business is not fun for her. She likes the one side of it, but she don't like the other side, which is the operations of it. She may have to consider, and I keep sounding like I'm outsourcing everything, she may have to consider having somebody to help her manage the business while she focuses on the entrepreneurship side of it. And she can manage her time being creating new opportunities for the business. Like maybe there's an international market that we had not tapped at our company. There's a national market that we had not tapped into. And I think that, she's put in a very, very awkward situation, and she's going to have to figure out where her management of time is needs to be critical. And trust me, I get this. People deal with this all the time. They have a business. I love talking to people. I love building relationships and starting and getting business. I don't like dealing with contracts. I don't like dealing with chasing vendors who didn't pay me on a contract. That's the ugly side of it. And I think that she's going to have to make a decision about where she needs to focus, where the business is right now. Are we losing money? Do we have decreased market share? What I need to make the focus of what I need to do, and again, where she's spending her time is critical. So tell me how you spend your time, and I can tell you all about you.
Right. That's excellent. Let's listen to some excellent comments that Justina gave on managing time.
That's a really good question, and I had to really take some time on this one of really trying to dissect what it really truly means to see something as a challenging situation that needs immediate involvement. And I think it goes back to what your priorities are as a leader and the people that you've put into place in order to help you with that, mitigating that challenge. It's important to have that time management involved, because at the end of the day, I see that as truly being what you were called or required to do within your position.
And also,
she
makes a good point here.
Start by saying, if this is something you're truly passionate about, then it's going to work out for you. If you're trying to focus on those areas where you tend to struggle or those weaknesses, I would say the biggest thing that has been for me when I tend to struggle is talking to my mentors and seeing what are some of the things that they would recommend, as well as me taking the time in order to better educate myself, looking at different situations or the opportunities that I have and figuring out how I can improve in the weak areas that I may struggle in. I think that would be the main thing that I would try and tell a person is that, you know, a lot of it is based off of education, but a lot of it is based on the experiences. And
very good. Very good. Now, we're only going to have about 5 or 6 minutes left. So let's see if we can wrap up this episode by getting a brief final thought, Anthony, from you and then from Justina. Let's start with Justina first with the final thoughts here tonight.
The final thought I would leave with the audience is a couple of things. When it comes to if you're in CC situation or predicament, it's basically being able to embrace the struggle. And then basically things are not learned overnight. So having the confidence in yourself in order to push through, move forward in whatever you decide to do is one thing. The other thing that I saw is really looking at this from CC's dad's perspective is that he spent his time teaching his daughter the ins and outs of the business. And although that it could have been a choice in some sense, but it was also his responsibility as the leader of that organization that he put that great importance on mentoring her. And I think all of us should be mentoring people that we see that are called to do what we do, that are passionate about what we do, and fostering them to succeed.
Very good. Outstanding points. Anthony, your final thoughts for tonight to our audience.
Earl, I narrowed this, my final thoughts down to addressing the three conflicts that I see with CC. She's going to have to address three things. She has a succession conflict, she has a goal conflict, and she has a passion conflict. And I one of the things, if I could wrap this up in a nice pretty bow and give her my, you know, advice, I would say what you want to do is either run the company, outsource your passion about designing, or do the design, bring somebody else in to run the company. And, you know, that's not an easy question or easy answer, but what you want to do is you want to stay focused on either you're going to run a company or you're going to be a designer. You can't do both.
Mm-hmm.
It goes like I liken that back to if I'm the head coach and I used to be a defensive coordinator, I can't be a head coach and just worry about the defense. That's not going to work. And that's a recipe for disaster. So if she's going to run a company, she's going to have to get some CEO training and I guess follow the dad and he's grooming her along. But if you still want to keep your hand on the design, bring somebody in for that and run the company. But you can't do both. So she's going to have to address those three things, a succession conflict, a goal conflict, and her passion conflict. If she can resolve those three, I think she'll be in good hands and she can be an entrepreneur and take the company into new heights that her father only dreamed about. And I think she definitely has the opportunity to do that.
That's very good. Now, I see the way the story ended as having, as presenting the reality around relationships, because it appeared that even though, as you said, she didn't have the skills, it was confusing, she understood the business in general, but not all of the ins and outs of inventory and managing sales and those types of things, it appeared that because of the relationship, in this case, her and her father, her father obviously knew that she had what it takes. And by allowing her to shadow him, and he probably did that in a way that he knew how she learned. or he knew how she could absorb. And that combination is what, in this case, came together. And in many situations, as we said earlier, it comes down to understanding everything there is about who's involved, why they're involved, and certainly in most cases, where if it's at work or somewhere else, you don't have that type of relationship. But with this kind of relationship, I think it's why the message that her father gave her and her ability to do things and quickly come up to speed and keep the family business running was a success. And believe it or not, we are now completely out of time. So those will have to be the last words.
Absolutely. And Earl, let me just thank our guest panel, Justina Wells Maxwell, CEO of Tina Lynn Marketing, and Dr. D'Anthony Miles, CEO and founder of Miles Development Industries Corporation, for joining us tonight. You were both great. Remember that our next episode of the 10-part Situations and Leadership series will be broadcasted live next Thursday, April 15th at 8 p.m. right here at blogtalkradio.com/richerlife. Please make sure to mark your calendar and join us as we discuss what Alex Danbury meant when he said, "I simply played the cards I was dealt." So if you haven't done so, please get a copy of the book and read along with us. Thanks again for joining us. Be safe and remember to live your richest life.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back again the same time next Thursday.